3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, as the All Things Covered podcast is one, Gambo, that we have really frequently referenced many, many times.
Well, we have.
Of course, the fall. Haven't
I don't
we?
Listen I, mean, to we're, po- we're, I don't listen to podcasts, but we have referenced this one, I think, every week since we found out Patrick Peterson does a podcast.
You don't listen to any podcasts at all?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, I listen to, like, our shows on the Arizona Sports app. You know, if I'm
well,
at the
no,
gym
you know,
or
I wasn't
something
trying to, like,
I want to listen to the Doug and Wolf or Bickley and Marad, I go on our Arizona Sports app. I know our shows are podcasted, but if I'm at the gym in the morning and I've got my headphones on, I could listen to Doug and Wolf, I could listen to Bickley and Marad, so I like to go on to the Arizona Sports app. But I'm not a podcast guy, no.
If you don't mind, Gambo, I'd like to put out an all call on our Twitter account for what people recommend you listen to. Just if you want a starter podcast or two.
Yeah, I did. Boy, I don't.
Okay, that's a no. Got it.
I think that's a no.
I don't, Gambo, there's some good stuff out there.
There's some pretty good stuff out
there.
I mean, it's
for literally anything you want.
Yeah,
I told you when I retire, I might do a podcast. So maybe I'll listen to my own.
So then you should listen to a podcast
before
you do one.
Yeah, you should. When you retire, you should definitely do a podcast because, as we've clearly understood, you can pretty much say whatever you want on a podcast.
Right, right, that's right.
Beep you out, right? I mean, that's the whole reason. That's the whole reason why we brought it up. Whether you should do a podcast. I don't want to sit here and advertise for a bunch of podcasts necessarily, because there are some very good ones out there, but they're also in a roundabout way kind of competition to what we do here. But the ones I like to listen to are the movie podcasts about, you know, what's in the theater, what's coming up next. There's one from Bill Simmons and crew that I just love called The Rewatchables. I listen to that one any chance I get because they take these old movies and they rewatch them, and the ones that hold up really well. I really enjoy that podcast. But back to the point about Patrick Peterson. He was on his All Things Covered podcast. He wishes he could get an opportunity to play with or for Todd Bowles again.
You know, Coach Bowles definitely, you know, I tell him all the time, every time I get an opportunity to see him, I wish I get an opportunity to play with him again, because Coach Bowles definitely, he's a special, special football-minded coach, and I definitely cherish all the moments that we had the opportunity to spend together.
Now, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you do it, right? Now you're out there. You're looking for a job. You're searching for a job. You're going to stop putting out these feelers. You're going to say, oh, I'd love to play for him. I'd love to play for him. I'd like to play for that guy. That'd be a great team. You're looking to be wined and dined, but you're also looking to throw some hints out there. Oh, I'd love to play for you. You know, show some interest.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm trying to put, not that I'm Patrick Peterson, because God knows I'm not, but I'm trying to put myself in, like, Patrick's shoes and think about, okay, what if I were him? What if I were a free agent for the first time? And if I were answering a question honestly about, like, okay, who would you like to work with in your next job? All right, if I answered that question honestly, and I don't even have a name in mind, would I be doing it because I'm providing an honest answer to the question, or because I'm trying to plant some seed about where I want to go? You know what I mean? Like, I can say, oh, man, I'd really love to work with this guy, knowing full well there's 0% chance of me being able to work with that guy. Am I answering the question as an honest, yeah, this is kind of who I'd like to work with, even though I know it won't happen? Or am I doing it because I'm trying to make it happen? I don't know. I don't know what Peterson's motivations were for answering that question.
Feelers,
maybe it was
man.
Just an honest answer. Maybe
feelers.
He's trying to plant a seed or two.
Yeah, plant the seed, put some feelers out there. I mean, play it again. That was an interesting cut. I'd like to hear it one more time.
Okay, stand by, because I got okay. Here's Patrick Peterson for the All Things Covered podcast. Wishes he could get an opportunity to play with Bowles again.
You know, Coach Bowles definitely, you know, I tell him all the time, every time I get an opportunity to see him, I wish I get an opportunity to play with him again, because Coach Bowles definitely, he's a special, special football-minded coach, and I definitely cherish all the moments that we had the opportunity to spend together.
Now, the other thing that makes
I think, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking.
Go ahead.
Todd Bowles, this isn't about going to play for Todd Bowles in Tampa. This is if Todd Bowles gets the job with the Eagles. So the Eagles have not hired a head coach yet, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, Todd Bowles is interviewing for the job with the Eagles. when a guy gets a head coaching job, one of the first things he does is he looks to bring in some of his own guys because that helps the locker room. Guys that know him, guys that respect him, guys that, you know, appreciate him, guys that are loyal to him. So I think, so if I put two and two together here, as I hear that, I'd love to play for him. If he becomes a head coach again, and any time in the next 5 years, okay, bring me. I love you, man. I love you. I would love to play for you. I'll give you everything I have, man. Sign me. Sign me to a deal. I want to play for you. If you're this isn't about playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks next year. This is about playing for Todd Bowles if he gets a head coaching job with the Eagles this year, or maybe he gets a head coaching job next year. And at that point, you know, who knows? Maybe Patrick's on a one-year deal this year, and he can go sign with him. So I think that's just laying the groundwork for something down the road with Todd Bowles.
Yeah, and the only other head coaching vacancy that's currently open right now is the Houston Texans. I do not know of any interest between the Texans and Todd Bowles. I do know that there was some interest between the Eagles and Todd Bowles. And that's exactly where I was thinking the same thing. I thought, okay, is he appealing to Todd Bowles of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or is he appealing to Todd Bowles of the fill-in-the-blank, as the head coach of the fill-in-the-blank, whether it's this year or next year? Because it's not Todd Bowles probably doesn't have the juice. Now, if he went to Tampa Bay, he'd be presumably reunited with Bruce as well. I don't think there'd be any reason why Bruce wouldn't want to have him back, and Bruce and Bowles together might have enough juice to make that happen, depending on where the Bucks are with the cap and how expensive Peterson's going to be and all that stuff. Those are things I don't know the answer, but it would be a lot easier and a lot simpler to reunite Peterson with Bowles if Bowles were the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, or if Bowles were his own head coach somewhere else a year from now. Absolutely. And maybe, Gambo, he's just answering a question about, you know, kind of like what we were doing yesterday with the Mega Millions. Hey, man, what would you do if you won the Mega Millions? Oh, I'd do this and I'd do that, you know, and you know it's never really going to happen, but you're just answering the question, right?
David and Burns, maybe he's just crushing hopes and dreams left and right.
Just Gambo.
Crashing all of our hopes and dreams.
Gambo, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
You're not winning the Powerball tonight.
My wife wants to be best friends with David.
Instead she gets to hang out with Dave, me.
David, David from my lottery dream home, is that what it's called?
Yeah, no.
Yes, they have the same designer likes and takes and yes,
yeah,
fashion. They agree on everything fashion wise. So she wants to be best friends with David. That's she's gonna buy him a house. He's gonna live next door to us.
It's possible that Peterson answering the question about being reunited with Bowles was nothing more than how you and I would answer on what we would do if we won the lottery. That it was just one of those, or maybe he was planting a seed or two. I don't know. It makes for a real interesting conversation because we just don't know what's next for Patrick Peterson. Where is next for Patrick Peterson? He also talked about Deshaun Watson and whether Watson's going to play for the Texans next season or not. And here's what Patrick Peterson said about that.
Question for you. I know I have my answer. Do you believe Deshaun Watson will play for the Texans in 2021?
Nope.
Nope. And when asked where he thought Watson could go, he said,
that man is gone.
Yeah, man, he out of there. I don't know who he's going to play for, but hey, you know, I won't be surprised, though, if we see him in the 49ers uniform.
Uh-oh.
I've heard that. That's been, you know. You get out from Garoppolo, and I think the Jets are the team, not the 49ers, because the Jets, if they want him, they got the best offer. They got two firsts, they got two seconds, you got Darnold. I mean, I think the Jets have the best opportunity to get him, more so than the 49ers or anybody else, because of where their draft picks are.
They are loaded. They are loaded. The Dolphins are loaded with draft picks, and those two teams are probably in the best position to be able to do something like that. But Patrick Peterson, once again, the All Things Covered podcast, and dropping a few suggestions down on what's going to happen in the NFL and what's going to happen with him. When we come back, we're one day closer to Championship Sunday, and it looks like we're one day closer to Patrick Mahomes suiting up for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll give you the latest as we know it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Ian Rappaport, today on the NFL Network. apparently Patrick Mahomes is going to be just fine.
There's been some debate and discussion publicly. Does he have a concussion? Does he not? It doesn't matter. He is still in the NFL's concussion protocol. My understanding of what's going to happen today is he's going to have a very light practice, whether that's something that counts as being limited in practice or whether he works to the side and is listed as not participating. That is still to be determined by their injury report, but he's going to do something physical to see if he has symptoms. This is a step in the process. Of course, practice this time of year basically just glorified walkthroughs anyway. It's really about mental reps. He'll be out there for that. The hope is that he will continue to progress through the concussion protocol, pass the steps he needs to pass, and be out there on Sunday. Assuming no setbacks based on the timing, that should be the case. But obviously, every concussion is different, so every day we'll just wait and see how he progresses.
Well, we've got an update on that report. Field Yates from ESPN Gambo officially listed Patrick Mahomes as a full participant in practice today, which likely ends any real conversation, at least one with any real teeth to it, about Patrick Mahomes and whether he will or won't play this weekend against the Bills. He was a full participant today. He's going to play.
Yeah, I think one of the big questions out of Kansas City may not be Mahomes, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I believe was limited in practice today and is, you know, could really help that Chiefs running game. So he was on, you know, and Mahomes rightfully, that's the spotlight, whether Mahomes is going to play. I get it. But Reed said that Edwards-Helaire, who's got a hip and ankle injury, did practice in some capacity. So that could be a big deal for them too. So they'll monitor him and see. He's their leading rusher, and he's been out since week 15. So if he can get back, then that's big for them. Now, if he can't play, they'll continue to use Darrell Williams, Le'Veon Bell, and Darwin Thompson. Williams started against the Browns, and he had 13 carries for 78 yards and caught four passes. So they have guys that could do it, but I'm really keeping my eye on Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he was big for them this year in a bunch of their games. So that would be, if they got him back, I think that could be huge.
Yeah, I agree with everything about that, but I want to keep going back to this. There's just a tweet that came out in the last minute. The Chiefs later modified their report to indicate he was officially limited in practice today. So we went from he's going to practice to a full participant in practice. Now he's being limited. Now he's being listed as limited in practice today.
Yeah,
so
they tweeted out.
It's kind of going back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. They tweeted out a video clip of him, Mahomes, taking a snap and throwing the football. So, you know, that's good. Now he's got to clear the NFL's. So it's a 5-step concussion protocol. So he's got to clear that and then get clearance from an independent neurological consultant. So if that all happens, then he'll get to play. But remember, it's a 5-step concussion protocol thing. And if he's able to pass all of that and then gets clearance, then he'll be able to play. So the practice is one thing, but the clearance is another thing.
Yeah, yeah. And for what it's worth, he took all the snaps that he was allowed to take today. That according to Andy Reid. He took all the snaps and feels good. We just have to follow this protocol as closely as we possibly can. So while we wait and watch, I think one thing, you know, again, we don't know for sure, but yesterday we talked a little bit about the Bills having to prepare for two quarterbacks. It doesn't really feel like the Bills have to prepare for two quarterbacks. They can if they want. You know, if they want to watch some Chad Henne film, just to make sure, I suppose that would be doing your due diligence, but chances are probably pretty good it's going to be Patrick Mahomes who's going to be suiting up against them. And then, you know, as we've talked about for the last couple of days, the rematch sort of element of these two games coming up on Sunday. Both of these games were played in week 6 of the NFL season, and yet many around the league are starting to wonder if we're going to see two totally different outcomes from what happened in week 6. In week 6, it was the Chiefs over the Bills, and it was the Bucs just flat out humiliating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And there are some people who believe that we might see the exact opposite this weekend when it comes to those rematches.
Look, the Bills especially, to me, a much, much different team. I mean, they were maybe the NFL's best team in the second half of the season, especially after that Cardinal game. they were phenomenal. They got completely outplayed when they played Kansas City last time. So the score wasn't very indicative of the game. The Chiefs won it by 9, but Kansas City ran all over them. Kansas City had 466 yards. Buffalo only had 206. Mahomes only threw it 26 times, but he was great. Completed 21 passes in that game. So, you know, and the Chiefs, we've talked about this. The Chiefs, they don't bury anybody. Like, they haven't won by more than 6 points since November 1st. So right around Halloween was the last time that they won a game by more than 6 points. They play in for a team that's that good, man, they sure play it close to the vest in a lot of these football games, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And one of these days, you think it's going to get them, right? I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and I think it was Schrager who was talking about it. And he said, look, all I see when I see a stat like that is wins. That's all I see. They just win, you know, and we can sit here and talk about how
Mahomes.
Yeah, we can sit here and talk about how close it is, but they just win. That's all they do. And so, you know, I'm not too worried about margins and how close things are and how interesting they make things. They win football games is what they do every single week. Is that enough, or is it eventually going to get them one of these days? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. You know, and then the Bucs and the Packers, you got to throw that one out. 38-10? Like, seriously?
Yes.
You know, that they got whooped in that game. So I can't imagine that it's going to be anything like that first meeting. I don't know what happened to Green Bay in that game. You know, cold weather, the temperature right now, I think, is it's going to be in the 20s and likely snowing, which really bodes well for the Packers, right? If that's
really
the weather
well
forecast, that's the latest one I got. In the 20s and likely snowing. Yeah, like Green Bay with that.
Yeah, that really bodes well for them. In week 6, what happened was the defense from Tampa Bay just harassed Aaron Rodgers all day long. They blitzed him. They put pressure on him. They forced him into very uncharacteristic mistakes. I remember watching quite a bit of that game, and he was – it was a very rare bad – at least rare in the terms of the 2020 season. Very rare bad game, bad moment for Aaron Rodgers where he was just being forced into mistake after mistake after mistake. And I don't think – now, you know, Tom Brady wasn't playing as well then as he is now. So there has been so much that has changed on both sides of the ledger. I don't think the Bucs blow them out like they did in week 6 when they met, but I don't diminish their chances. I think the weather works against them, to your point. But I don't diminish the Bucs' chances in this game because they, too, are playing a different brand of football than even they were playing back in week 6.
Well,
and in some ways, a better brand of football, at least offensively,
yeah,
at Tom Brady.
Listen, if you want one of those stats that show Tampa Bay winning, there is one. Teams that win by at least 20 points in a regular season game and then play that team again in a conference championship game, they're 9-1. So Tampa won that game 32-18, so more than 20. So in the Super Bowl era, when teams have beaten a team by 20 or more points and then played them again in the conference championship game, those teams that won by 20 or more points are 9-1. So only once in 10 meetings has a team that lost by, you know, 20 or more came back to win. So, I mean, if you want stats like that, and some people like them, some people don't, I could care less for them. But, I mean, it does give you, you know, it does show you something, a little bit of a trend there and how it goes.
When we come back, the Grizzlies had their game postponed today because of COVID-19 contact tracing. Should we gulp, expect the Suns to miss any games in the near future? GM James Jones, he'll join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Suns Front Office Show, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good, member FDIC.
Stay at 3:30. We talk Suns basketball. The general manager of the Phoenix Suns swings by in the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Suns Rockets tonight at 7:30. Joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the GM, James Jones, here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hi, James. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
Real good. Thank you. We appreciate that. First of all, a question about tonight's game. specifically. We've already seen a game in the NBA get postponed. It's involving the Memphis Grizzlies, the team that you played the last time you were on the floor. Have you heard anything about the status of tonight's game, which is scheduled to be at 7:30?
No, we'll be playing tonight, and our game is going to proceed as scheduled. And so our guys are, you know, in Houston getting locked and loaded and ready for tonight.
James, when you look at what transpired, how difficult was that week, having the three postponed games, not being able to practice, you know, and then coming out and really struggling in that last game, and Book especially had a hard time, not being in any rhythm, struggling with his shot. How difficult was that week?
It was tough. I mean, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just basketball. You ideally would love to have multiple practices and be able to build a rhythm, get a couple home games in. You know, we were really looking forward to coming back home and trying to get ourselves right in our space, in our building. But, you know, that didn't come to fruition. And so we had to head off to Memphis, and we played a very, you know, even game with those guys. And they're a good team. They play hard. They're competitive. And we had chances to win it at the end. We just made too many mistakes during the game, too many turnovers, and we didn't capitalize on the opportunities, and they did. And they came out with a 4-point victory.
One of those games that a lot of people were looking for from DeAndre, a lot more aggressive right around the basket, not settling for the fadeaway jumpers or kicking it out to the three-point line. There was one beautiful play where he caught it down low, pass from Chris Paul, then he went around Tillman, did a reverse dunk. I know a lot of people like the dunks, but to me it's just efficiency. He's just got to be more efficient. Seemed like that was his most efficient game of the season. How did you look at it?
As a building block, as a step forward, I thought he played well. He was big on the boards for us, I think 16 rebounds. And he kept a lot of possessions alive, gave our guys extra opportunities to convert. We did in some instances, but we weren't able to down the stretch. But, yeah, that's what we look for him. I think he can do that consistently. He has to do it consistently, and we're going to continue to push him, because if he can play that way and carry that mentality into every game, I don't think you'll see very many games where Devin struggles the way he did or where we – failed to capitalize. And so he was a bright spot for us that game, and I'm just hopeful he can carry it into tonight's matchup against Houston.
How has he handled the pushing? Because a lot has been made about the pushing the last couple of days. How is he handling guys constantly talking to him about what he needs to do to improve his game?
He's open to it. You know, that's the one thing about DeAndre. He's not very sensitive to conversations. You know, if guys are bringing it to him because they want to see something special, he's all for it. I know he gets a lot of flack. People are always looking and always wanting more, and he becomes the center of conversation every time. But he understands it comes with the territory, and he actually wants to meet those expectations. So he's been good, and I think he's seen progress. A lot of times when he struggles and the chatter increases, he finds a way to silence those people and more importantly, to build confidence in himself. So we'll continue to push him, and he'll continue to respond.
James, there was a discussion on our morning show today about DeAndre Ayton being shopped in the summertime for a trade. Did you have discussions with any other teams about trading DeAndre Ayton?
I knew you'd ask me that question. You know, I'm in a business where people always want to throw something out there. And I've told our guys before, in this business, you're going to hear this a lot. And typically you hear from people that will tell you that it's happening from sources. And, you know, you can't control that. You know, for us, DeAndre, we drafted him. We have every intention of him continuing to grow and be the player that we expect. So we're happy with DeAndre. There's really not much to say besides you'd have to ask the guy who said that. But from our side, like, it's just basketball. Continue to play and continue to work to get better.
So from your perspective, then no, the team, the organization was not chopping him in the summer.
I'm not commenting on it. I'm not even going to acknowledge it because either way you slice it, it's not. No answer is perfect. So I'm just going to move on from that one.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about getting some reinforcements back. Jalen Smith has been out a long time. Could definitely be a big body for you if you're able to get him back. He's been cleared. How far along will he be? How soon do you think you can get him back into basketball shape where he might be able to get some minutes?
He's coming along. You know, I think, you know, what we have to remember with Jalen is he had the ankle sprain before he was out due to health and safety protocols. And so that was a good 10 days where he wasn't on the floor. And then you take COVID. So it's been about a month since he's had a chance to play. So he's available. He'll be available. But that timeline, how fast can he get back? We're hopeful it's sooner rather than later. But he'll be available soon. And, you know, that's the best thing is to get him back in practice, get him around us. And if he can give us anything, that'd be a boost.
What was your takeaway? James Jones, general manager of the Suns, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. What was your takeaway from the change to the starting lineup with Cam and Jay coming off the bench now? And how permanent of a move do you think that's going to be when it's all said and done?
I can't tell you. I think it was, you know, coach's attempt and our attempt to find a boost for that lineup. You know, we're still trying to find the combinations that work well to start games, you know, to play in the middle and to finish games. So the experimentation, I think you'll see it from time to time. I wouldn't be surprised if, depending on matchups, you see Dario starting. We're just going to be fluid because we go into every game trying to figure out, or at least consistently trying to figure out what's the best lineup, what gives us the best chance to start games the way we want, which lineups give us the best chance to close games the way we want. And with the versatility we have, that forward position between Jay and Cam and Dario, different parts of the season may see different rotations. So for now, especially since the last game, you know, went with Cam to see what he could bring. And I think we'll see that again tonight. And for how long, I don't know. But, you know, the team or the group playing well will determine how long our starting lineups or our rotations stay consistent.
There have been so many things to talk about when it comes to your basketball team, just in general, in terms of how they've played the last, you know, four or five times they've been on. What is, from where you sit, what's been your impression of what hasn't worked for your basketball team in games against Detroit or Washington or Memphis the other day? What has been the problem from your perspective?
Well, I mean, you have challenges on both sides of the ball. Defensively, I didn't think that we had a consistent effort or we were able to execute against those teams, Detroit, against Washington. You know, those are road games. You know, we know that road games are tougher than home games, and you just hope that you get your best efforts consistently on the road, but a lot of times that's just not what happens. And offensively, you know, I thought we didn't adjust well to the zone in Detroit. Thought we did a better job against Washington, but, you know, we were down so much. And, you know, we made shots against Memphis, but we weren't able to make the shots when we needed them. So there are a bunch of areas, but I think on both sides of the ball, I think that we have to get back to what we did earlier in the year, being efficient and defending when it counts.
If Book has a normal game, an average Devin Booker game, you probably win that. When he obviously struggled a lot with his shot throughout that game, how long do you think the adjustment period is? Is a lot of it trying to get used to playing with new players, trying to get used to playing with Chris?
Yeah, it is. It's a process, man. You know, as much as you don't, you want it to happen quickly, you understand it's a process. You know, these guys have to figure out how to play well together. It's just not playing together, because they can all play together and you can have uneven performances. But in order for us to be a good team, they have to learn how to play well consistently together. And that comes with time and that comes with struggles. You know, you adjust a lot of times to what you see. You adjust to in the areas where you struggle, you make adjustments. And, you know, if that's the minutes, the staggering, the complementary players, the offensive sets, you have to evaluate it all and find a sweet spot. And I think we're looking for that. We're searching for that. We haven't found it yet, but we'll get there soon enough.
James, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay, you got it. Thanks, Ed.
Got it. James Jones, general manager, Phoenix Suns, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Cadillac Tempe. Experience the difference. Visit CoulterCadillacTempe.com. It's been a slow offseason for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Maybe things are starting to pick up. Players signing deals. are they starting to pick up? Plus, the rumor about the National League West rival of the Diamondbacks that you will want to hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, we'll talk about the Diamondbacks in just a second. I have to bring this up because
okay.
I think this is nothing against Chris Devensky. I think this might be a little juicier than Chris Devensky. Jeff Passan, via his Twitter account, the L.A. Dodgers are monitoring the market for right-hander Trevor Bauer and could be a player depending on the price, sources tell ESPN. This is Jeff Passan who tweeted this out. Focus for the Dodgers now remains on a right-handed infield bat, but Bauer and the Dodgers remain a possibility as his market develops.
Wow.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Not good news.
No, that's not. That's,
Springer got. Listen, we knew the top five or so players were going to get their money, right? We knew that was going to happen. Bauer's 30 years old. He's a good pitcher. And so, I mean, everybody's monitoring the situation and trying to see, you know, what's going to happen. And depending on the contract and the price, maybe the Dodgers get him. Now, we saw Springer get a big deal with the Blue Jays. I mean,
yes.
He got, what, $150 million?
Yes, correct.
I mean, that's a leadoff hitter who can hit home runs and just a great player. Trevor Bauer is in his prime. He's 30 years old, and, you know, he's in line to make big money. Now, this year is just different because there's not a lot of money in the market. A lot of teams, everybody lost money to some extent last year. I mean, we've seen the Diamondbacks and many other teams just sit by and just wait this thing out to see, you know, wait for the prices to come down. You know, but the Dodgers, it's not just about winning that one title, you know, first one since, you know, 88. It's about, you know, having a team that can win multiple titles. And if they're able to go get Trevor Bauer, they put themselves in a better position to do that. And, you know, hate to say this, but dominate the NL West for years to come.
Yeah, Alden Gonzalez is a reporter for ESPN. He retweeted Passan, and he points out that only Mookie Betts is currently on the books for the Dodgers beyond the 2022 season. Now, at that point, Cody Bellinger, Walker Buehler, presuming the Dodgers are going to want to keep both of those guys, and of course they are, they're obviously going to be on the books too beyond the 2022 season, and they'll be very, very expensive when they are. But Bauer on a short-term, high kind of per-year type deal would be, he says, very, very appealing to the L.A. Dodgers. Not a long-term deal, but certainly a short-term deal that pays him a lot of money annually would be, as you can understand, very appealing for the Dodgers to do something like that. We'll see whether they can pull that off. I would imagine a guy like Bauer is going to, you know, look to cash in with a long-term deal, but maybe he signs something shorter for more money per year, knowing that he's going to hit the market again when he's still young and still good and be able to cash in a second time. I don't know. I mean, at this point, with everything the Padres have done, with the Dodgers coming off a World Series championship, it feels like the Diamondbacks have so much ground to make up on those two teams in terms of roster and personnel. I don't want to say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. But at this point, it feels like the Diamondbacks are so far behind those two teams that, in a way, it almost doesn't matter. Like, I don't – Bauer, no Bauer, you're still – it feels like light years behind the L.A. Dodgers in the National League West if you're the D-backs.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I mean, you want to be competitive and just try to get in there and get one of the wild cards and give yourself a chance to make to the playoffs. So I think in some ways you don't look at it like competing against the Dodgers. You look at it as I'm going to compete against all the other teams that are going to battle for a wild card spot, because that's what you're really doing if for all intent and purposes, right? Not really competing against the Dodgers. I don't think you go in, yeah, our goal is to win the NL West. No, I think, you know, I would think that their goal is to try to compete with a group of teams that are just trying to get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Springer, you mentioned the 6-year, $150 million deal to go to the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, something very interesting happened today kind of in connection with that. There were some reports this morning, and they ended up being erroneous, that Michael Brantley was going to join him, leaving the Astros and going to the Toronto Blue Jays. The Astros at the last minute came through with a 2-year, $32 million contract for him to stay in Houston. So Brantley not there. There were lots of reports this morning that, okay, it's Brantley's going to follow him. Turns out that's not the case. He is going to stay in Houston and not follow Springer to the Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays are kind of a tough sell right now, you know, given that there's so much uncertainty about their ability to play in Canada. They might be away from home for a long time. Some people think that the Blue Jays kind of had to overpay Springer, as good as he is, because they're the Blue Jays, to convince a star player in his prime to go to them rather than stay in the States somewhere, that the Blue Jays might have had to overpay to get Springer a little bit.
Yeah, because they knew who they were competing against, right? They knew they were competing against a big market team that had just made a big splash in getting Francisco Lindor, and you know, they wanted to make sure they got him. And sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, you just have to go in and go high and go high. You just have to go high. You got to make an offer. You don't know what the other team's offer is, and you know, sometimes you're bidding against yourself, but you just don't want to lose the guy. So maybe they paid $10 million more, $20 million more. Maybe they added an extra year when they didn't have to. Whatever the case is, it's, you know, the agent's not going to tell, hey, this is what the Mets offer is. No, give me your best offer, you know, and then I'll tell you if you get the deal. So sometimes you go a lot higher than you really even need to go to get him. But maybe, you know, for him to go play in Toronto, you know, instead of New York, required that extra amount of money.
Sure, sure. You got to overpay a little bit for a guy like that to get a guy like Toronto's lineup is just absolutely stacked, and George Springer is a great, great addition to that lineup. All right, to the Diamondbacks. They've agreed to a deal, a minor league deal, as it turns out, according to Nick McCoro over at the Republic, with Chris Devensky. He had arthroscopic elbow surgery back in September. He elected free agency in October. He has spent his entire major league career up until this point with the Houston Astros. Gambo?
You know, you got to take some flyers here if you're the D-backs. And that's what they're doing, right? I mean, if he makes the major league roster, he could earn $1 million. You know, he's on a minor league contract. So even if he makes the team, you're not paying him a lot of money. He was an all-star in 2017, you know, that year, that World Series year. He had a 2.68 ERA. He threw 80 innings. He was in 10 postseason games. But then he struggled after that. I mean, he had ERA close to 5 in his next 120 innings. And, you know, he only pitched in 3 2/3 innings and then had the elbow surgery to remove the bone spurs. So I think what you're doing here in signing him and Ryan Buchter, I think you're just trying to hope that somebody hits, trying to catch lightning in a bottle for not a lot of money.
Yeah, no, it does. It feels like almost like you're sitting at a roulette table and you're putting your money on a number. And you know, if you hit it, great, you're going to get a really nice payout. But the chances of you hitting it, it's not the best in the world. But that's probably the position with the Diamondbacks and their payroll that they're going to be in for this season and maybe seasons to come. And lots of teams, this is nothing new. Lots of teams are going to be in the same position the Diamondbacks are this year in terms of their ability to spend money. It's just where they are. It's who they are right now. And again, that's what makes it tough when you're going against the Padres and the Dodgers of the world. But we'll see. Devensky, he had a couple of really good years in Houston. Really, really good years. 2016, 2017, his numbers. But then his numbers kind of took a step back the last three seasons or so. So it's a minor league deal, but you could very easily see him being on the major league roster. And then, of course, Buchter yesterday, you mentioned that, also a minor league deal. The deals will start to come for the Diamondbacks, right, Gambo. It's just going to take a little time, I think.
These are not the guys you're counting on. When they say they need bullpen help, these aren't the guys that they're going out there to get bullpen help. I mean, these are just depth guys, and if they pitch well, then they can make the roster. But right now it's minor league deals. They will still sign some relievers to fortify that bullpen.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, with the Memphis Grizzlies having a game postponed tonight, what is the status of the Suns game in Houston? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.